acknowledged by the board recorder. Thank you. Start out with a roll call. The board recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton, Commissioner Tivnon?
Present.
City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah?
Present.
TVWD, Commissioner Duggan?
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum. This concludes roll call. All other attendees will be recorded using Microsoft Teams. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette. First on our agenda is the General Manager's Report, and Mr. Kraska will present.
Thank you, Chair Duggan, and good afternoon, Commissioners. And off we go with our General Manager's Report, starting as we always have done with a safety minute. And this one is relevant to our construction activities that we have going on all over Washington County. So it's some reminders about driving near construction work zones. So next slide, please. And this is some of the data for this comes from ODOT's recent safety campaign. And the data that they have to share with us are between 2014 and 2018, Oregon work zones saw the following average number of incidents each year. So this is an average for each year, 331 crashes involving injuries. And of those, 532 people injured per year on average and 5 fatalities per year on average. So we've got a lot of activity now on the program where we're out in the roads, and we're certainly concerned about all of our construction staff that are working out there. And we want everyone to be safe. So some reminders about that. Pay attention when you see the orange signs, barrels, cones, and barricades. As these photos show, it's complex and confusing, and so it takes some extra time to just be aware of it and what the instructions they're trying to give you to follow, and obey any temporary speed signs. Anticipate that work zone traffic lanes are going to be narrow, and move over to give workers more room. These are all, it seems like this is all common knowledge, but it's still good reminders. I think the last slide here I have, just kind of at the bottom line, is just slow down, is that around any of our construction work zones, drive slower than you think you might need to. Gives you more time to react to the change conditions, and it just makes everyone safer. And if that's not enough, just remember that fines double in all Oregon work zones, whether workers are present or not. So that's it for a safety minute, and we'll move on to the general manager's report, and I want to talk about safety minutes a little bit. So at its February 15th, 2023 board meeting, the Tualatin Valley Water District decided to stop presenting safety minutes at the beginning of future board meetings. This change preserves staff's and the board's time for critical business and does not signal that safety is any less important at TVWD. Safety remains a central part of TVWD's culture. Since TVWD is the managing agency for the WWSS, we propose following its lead. Unless different direction is received from the WWSS board, this body, today's safety minute will be or was the last one presented at a WWSS board meeting for the foreseeable future. So like TVWD, safety will remain a central part of the culture at Willamette Water Supply Program and the WWSS Commission. So I'll pause here a second to ask for feedback from the board. Are we okay with stopping the safety minutes at future board meetings? Thumbs up from Commissioner Judah and Commissioner Duggan. Chair Duggan.
Just one clarifying question is if there are any instances of something that happens, we still get the report on that. It's just not the briefing that's in the current format, correct?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if there are any, thank you. So yeah, if there's any significant events, I'll certainly report them to you. But this is just these particular safety minutes at board meetings. We won't do them anymore. But certainly if there's any safety situations or anything, I'll report them to you. So thank you for that feedback. So now moving on with the rest of the general manager's report, we'll go on to Willamette Water Supply Program personnel update. So the WWSP team is celebrating the promotion of two key program team members from Stantec, the program manager for the WWSP. Upon departure of Jeremy Taylor, who had been our program manager since January 2022, the WWSP staff worked with leadership at Stantec to develop a transition plan. With only 3 years left to complete the WWSS and to manage maximize efficiency and getting the new program manager fully integrated, we focused on considering only internal candidates. As a result, Andre Tolme has been promoted to WWSP program manager. Andre's proven leadership of the WWSP construction management team positions him well to take on this new role while continuing to serve as the program construction manager for the remaining years. Recognizing the significant workload increase to Andre, a new position was created to support him and the program management team. Jill Kamisha, who's been leading our permitting efforts on the consultant side, has been promoted to the new deputy program manager and will lead many of the program's controls and administration activities. Both Andre and Jill are excited about the opportunity to grow in their roles and help us successfully complete the WWSP. I'll say personally, I'm excited to continue to work with them in this different capacity. I think they've been vital and critical contributors to the program from its very beginning back in 2015. And I'm excited to see them grow in these roles and support us in different and additional ways. But in conclusion, we wish Jeremy the best and thank him for his 8 years of service to the WWSP. Now, moving on to our permitting and communications updates. The WWSP permitting communication efforts remain very active. Attached to the general manager's report is a tabulation of the permits and approvals recently granted and the status of those currently in process. Regarding our permitting updates, Oregon Department of Environmental Quality has approved the WWSS's request for modification of the water quality certification, including coverage for Tualatin River temporary discharge facility that will be needed for commissioning and startup of the system. DEQ decided that the modification was not a significant change to the original certification, and as such, no public noticing was necessary for approval of that modification. All permits needed to begin the construction of the Pipeline West, POW 2.1, have been secured, and so now that project is well underway. And system-wide permit renewal requests have been submitted to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife for the program's wildlife salvage and fish salvage permits, as well as Department of State Lands removal and fill permit in advance of their expiration. So basically, just running our business there. A couple of communications updates. In preparation for the closure, this is kind of a big one. In the closure of Southwest Grabourne Road, the communications team focused outreach efforts to residents along Shoals Fair Road Pipeline PLM 5.3 project. The road will be closed from Southwest Tile Flat Road to Southwest Tone Creek Road. This will be a full closure for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from April 5th all the way to July 5th. Local access to residences along Southwest Grabourne Road, south of Stone Creek Drive, and north of Southwest Tile Flat Road will be continuously provided. No through traffic will be allowed, however. Staff are working with emergency services and other providers so that services to local residences are not interrupted. Notice of the road closure has been coordinated with partner agencies and posted on Oregon's Department of Transportation Trip Check, which is the clearinghouse of traffic and travel information that is utilized by Waze and other application. I think this is, just an aside, I think this is our biggest road closure on the program. It's a narrow road. It's the best alignment for our pipeline. This is just going to be a tough part of the job. But we are maintaining access to all the residents there, including emergency services access. But it will be an impact to the area, but we have identified alternative routes and everything else. Finally, on the communication side, staff has finalized production of the 2022 WWSP accomplishments video. Video highlights major milestones and efforts from the last year and provides a look ahead to the future. The video has been shared publicly through the WWSP newsletter this month and via the program website, ourlevelwater.org. The video has been translated into Spanish, and that version will also be publicly available on the website. Now moving on to our construction and operations readiness updates. Attached to this general manager's report is a tabulation of the status of all of our active construction projects. To provide a more complete understanding of the work underway, we'll share a presentation of the recent photos of the construction sites and the status of our efforts to prepare for operations. And a copy of this presentation, of course, is attached to the general manager's report, so let's get into the slides. So the next slide shows all of our active construction projects, all 14 of them. So we have a lot of work going on all over Washington County, as I mentioned. And the next slide shows kind of the progress that we're making across all of them. Left-hand side are all of the projects that we have, and the bars show the progress that we have made or are making. The bars in gold are the progress that we've made in the recent period. So you can see we're making good progress on all of these projects. The green check marks on the side are all of the projects that we've completed so far, and there's 9 of them. So we continue to make good progress on all of these. Next slide. Start from the south with the raw water facilities project. So on this one, all the bullets on the side show all the activity that's going on. It's largely on the upper site portion of this project. We have our building subcontractors fully mobilized to site. Electrical submittals are complete. We're installing electrical conduit below the slab. I've got some photos of that, as well as installing the sewer and drain piping below the electrical building foundation slab. Preparing equipment pads for slab construction, and we've also completed some work on the lower site with some additional drainage improvements in the park. Next slide shows the drone shot of that upper site. And so this is a little bit hard to see what's going on there, but it shows where we will be constructing our electrical building and standby generators and surge control facilities. So that's really the most active part of the raw water facilities project now. If we go to the next photo, shows a closer-up zoomed-in shot there, and you can see kind of the spaghetti nesting of all of the all the conduit that's routed in and around all the electrical building features here. This is pretty common for electrical buildings at major utility infrastructures like this. If we go to the next photo here, you can see what that looks like up close. So it looks like pretty crazy. But all of this is engineered, it's all very purposeful, and every single one of these conduits is accounted for in terms of where it's coming from, in terms of the power coming into the facility, and the equipment that's going to in the electrical buildings, such as MCCs or VFDs or things of that nature. So we're making good progress on this project and getting ready to lay the rebar and then pour the concrete for the foundation slab. Next slide. Moving on to our PLM 1.3 project, so that's just to the north, our pipeline project through the center of Wilsonville. On this one, we're just getting started with the active construction work here. We're mobilizing the trenchless subcontractor for the Wilsonville Road launch shaft. Got a couple of photos of that. We were excavating the receiving shaft for that work and the dewatering system for that work as well. So next slide. This first photo here shows you some activity. The road in this photo that goes from left to right, that's Wilsonville Road. It's a very, very busy road in Wilsonville, and we're crossing it via trenchless activity instead of open cut across Wilsonville Road. The oak tree that you see, the big oak tree there that you see on the left-hand side of this photo, very important oak tree to the city. So it was critical for us to design around that to make sure our trenchless activity was going far enough below that oak tree that we were able to convince everybody, including the city's arborist, that we were not going to impact that tree. And so, but in the foreground here is the construction of the launch shaft for that tunneling process. The type of shoring that they're using here is called a slide rail, where they have these like corner sections here that basically support the slides that are being installed right now, another type of vertical shoring system to create the pit for the launching of the trenchless equipment. Next slide. And this is on the other side. So you can see in the kind of the upper left, there's a little bit of that tree there that we're just getting to the upper side here. So over in this area, they're going to be digging out the receiving pit. So the launch is going to be from the other side of the road of the trenchless equipment, then it'll be received on this side. So we're making good progress on this complex part of this PLM 1.3 project. Next slide is, now we're moving north to our treatment plant project. So this is just another very busy site. We've constructed our tower crane. We've also, I think we've completed construction now of our on-site warehouse and craft lunch areas. Working on temporary electrical duct banks and pouring concrete in various areas around the site. So let's look at some photos. This first photo is an aerial of the clear well. So the road there kind of in the background is Southwest 124th Avenue. In the center there, the circular feature will be our 10 million gallon clear well. So storing the finished water from the water treatment plant. You can see a crane there toward the right-hand side, and then just beyond the crane, a rectangular feature there. That is our finished water pump station. The concrete slab of that finished water pump station is complete, and what you're looking at there is the vertical forms for the walls of the finished water pump station. Since this photo, a lot of those walls have already been constructed. The concrete pours and rebar and everything else already in place, and I'm being told that so far so good with all of the concrete work. They're doing a really good job out there and making good progress. So now if we take the drone and rotate it to look southwest, so you can see just at the lower left-hand corner there is kind of the edge of the Clearwell. And so now we're rotating, looking southwest now across the rest of the active water treatment plant construction site. And you can see it's really busy. The way I kind of characterize it, you know, looking kind of at this distance from it, it just looks like various grits of sandpaper that we're looking at. It's kind of hard really to features to make out here, but in the foreground is our equalization basins, and then we have our UV facility and filters and ozone, and everything else is going to be constructed in time, but they're making good progress on here. And as I mentioned, pouring concrete in various areas. I think in the foreground here is our equalization basin, and I think that's going to be one of the pours that's coming up here in the next week or two. Next slide. Now if we fly the drone to the other edge of the property and now look northwest, this is basically just looking at that same site from a different angle. Again, you can see our tower crane in red there, kind of in the background now. And in the foreground here is all of our staging area and our construction trailers and so on. So very clean site, very well managed, and making good progress on this project. Next slide. Now getting back to our pipeline projects, PLM 4.2. This is our partner project with Washington County and Tualatin and Sherwood Road, just outside of the water treatment plant project. This one's still in the road construction phase. They're almost at the point of having the road wide enough that they can move traffic over so we can start to work on our pipeline parts. So on this one, they're continuing to work on the road widening on the south side of Tualatin and Sherwood Road, working on curbs and sidewalk, base paving, and it's going to be starting soon. We're still in the paperwork phase. We're doing our submittals. I think the only photo that I have to show you here is just of some of the road construction. This shows just some of the additional retaining wall that's been constructed and fencing and the curb and gutter that's to come. So again, they're working on the road widening, our pipeline installation, probably going to be in the next month or two. Our next photos are going to be about PLM 4.1. So that's our another pipeline partnership project with Washington County. This one we are almost complete, or if we're probably on the verge of completing all of our pipeline installation on this one. We're making great progress on this one. And so the bullets here talk about how we've completed all of that pipeline installation. And meanwhile, the county is also continuing to work on some of the road widening work on the south side of Tualatin and Sherwood Road. Again, just to the west of the pipeline PLM 4.2 project I just mentioned. So the photos that I have to show you of this one are of some of our night work. So this is a photo of Tualatin and Sherwood Road there, kind of in the center of this photo, looking out towards Highway 99, towards the 99 crossing. And so it shows the folks that are working for us in the middle of the night, getting our pipeline installed while the businesses are shut down. It's just part of working with Washington County and working with all the businesses in the area to get our work done with having as little impact as possible. So some of this work occurs at night. Similarly, the next photo I have here to show you is a bit of a close-up of some of the work that goes on in the middle of the night. And you can see this is kind of a 45-degree bend in our 66-inch pipeline. And this is when we were doing a diagonal crossing across Tualatin and Sherwood Road. So again, very complex work, very challenging work, but our contractor's been doing a great job getting this done for us. And so far, so good on this project. And our partnership with Washington County is going great as well. So far, so good on this one. Now we move on to PLM 4.4. This is the last of our Washington County projects in this area. So it's the rest of our pipeline getting out of Sherwood up to the north side there. So this one, we're still in the paperwork phase, still reviewing submittals and RFIs while Washington County continues to finish widening the road. And they're just about done with that. So we're just about going to be able to start on our pipeline projects. And that's what all of these bullets allude to. I'll show you what it means in the photo here coming up. So the photo here shows that area. And when kind of the main thing to look at here is on the right-hand side, you see a sound wall. On the left-hand side, you see sound wall. So that's basically Washington County has now constructed those sound walls and has now defined the final width of this roadway in the area. And so now that they have that defined, now they can move the traffic to one side or the other to enable us to do our pipeline installation work. In the foreground there, you see some cracked up old sidewalk. That's old sidewalk. That's not the new sidewalk that we're going to be constructing with Washington County. But anyways, we're making good progress on this one, and our pipeline installation work will be starting soon. Next slide. Now on to PLM 4.3. That's our pipeline project just north of Sherwood in the unincorporated Washington County areas. So this is an exciting project because this is our largest microtunneling project on the whole program, about 2,000 feet of microtunneling under the Tualatin River. This bullet here says we've completed more than 900 linear feet, installed 45%. I know we've gone longer than that since we've completed this slide. I think we're up around 1,200 feet of the 2,000 feet. So it's slow but steady progress, and it's going according to plan. So far, so good with that really complex and difficult microtunneling project there. Also continuing to install our 66-inch pipeline open cut. No, that was okay, Joel. You can go on the good timing there. So this shows some of that open cut installation that's still occurring. This is actually a couple of weeks ago when we were installing our pipeline right in front of the Bag and Stows property along our Roy Rogers Road there. So they're doing great in getting that work done. The next photos I have to show you here are of the trenchless work. In trenchless work, it's all below ground, and so really the only activity you see are kind of at grade level at the sending and receiving pits. This is the receiving shaft on the north side of the Tualatin River. And if you look in the distance there, you see a body of water. You might be mistaken to think that's Tualatin River. That's actually just flooded farmlands from all the rains that we had been having. Tualatin River is actually behind us in this particular photo. But anyways, making good progress on that one. The next photo that I have to show you here is of the sending pit. So this is really largely, especially right now, the business end of this operation. All of the controls and activity and all the spoils receipt and the sending of the casing pipe is all done from this end. And it's a very busy, very compact site. We only got the limited amount of property that we needed to get this done. You can see the contractor even has some of these Connex boxes and others stacked on top of each other. So it's a very busy little site, but they're making it work. And like I said, so far so good on this one, and I'm glad it's gone uneventful, but smoothly. Next slide. So one more on this one. So this is a intermediate jacking station. So since it's such a long drive of the 2,000 feet, we have these intermediate jacking stations that we install along the way to help move the casing along, because it's a lot of friction and so much pipe to push through the trenchless construction. So that's just showing one of those features of the intermediate jacking station being installed inside the shaft there. Okay, next slide. Now we move on up north to our reservoir and PLM 5.3 project. Regarding the reservoir project, we started installation of our inlet and outlet pipe, the 66-inch diameter inlet and outlet pipe, and our 42-inch overflow pipes. We've also installed temporary and permanent power from PGE for the reservoir site. On our PLM 5.3, the pipeline portion of this big project, we are about 58% complete with 11,600 feet of pipe installed. And some time ago, we completed our trenchless crossing of Farmington Road. The next slide here is an aerial of the reservoir site. And so this one from a civil engineer, I think it looks really awesome because it's a nice, clean site and just a beautiful retaining wall. So from a civil engineer, this is a work of art here. So it might not look that way to everyone else, but they did a great job constructing this, and just really proud of the work that the folks have done out there. So it's a very clean site. The reservoir is going to be constructed kind of in the distant part of this particular photo. On the right-hand side, you can see the trench for the inlet and outlet pipelines that are being constructed right now. Next slide is those inlet and outlet pipelines. So this photo is taken a little bit after that aerial, the drone shot that I just showed you. And it shows the 66-inch inlet and outlet pipes being installed for the reservoir that will be constructed basically on top of these pipelines. So very large construction, very large pipe to work with, very difficult work getting it angled just so to our specifications and everything, but the contractor is doing a great job at it. Next slide, I believe, is an aerial of our pipeline installation, and there it is. So up in the upper kind of left-hand part, you can see that reservoir site. And then closer to us is the staging area for the reservoir construction, and then a long string of pipeline kind of snaking its way down towards us. In the lower right hand of this particular photo, you can see the open trench installation of that pipeline. So in this particular area, this particular part of the program, the contractor is selecting, instead of using a vertical shore, basically laying back the slopes of the excavation to install the pipeline. And they're doing very, very, very high quality work here. I think the next photo is, there it is. And so that's an up close photo of that pipeline installation. So I just like looking at this one again from a civil engineering standpoint, just very high quality work in terms of the shaping of the layback of the slopes, and just really nice. You can see a lot of ladder access in and out of the trench there, and then the pop-ups to cover the activity that of the workers down there for fixing up the joints, I believe. So anyways, just making good progress on this one. Like I said, more than halfway done with all this pipeline installation on this particular project. Next slide. Field W1.3, this one's about done. So this one has been working on for quite some time. It's been in a holding pattern for quite a while because we are waiting for a couple of valves that were just, it's just long lead time and much longer than anyone anticipated. But we do have them, they've been installed, and now we're working on punch list and close out of this particular project. So we're almost at the finish line on this one. So with that, I don't think I have any photos of this one, so we'll move on to PLW 1.2. So this is the last of our Washington County partnership projects, and we're about done with our 48-inch pipeline installation. That's what these bullets allude to. And our 18-inch waterline installation across on Francis Street for City Hillsborough's turnout there. And the county is continuing with retaining wall installation on northeast corner TV Highway and Corn Pass and completing their sound wall work. Photos I have here for you are kind of the last of the 48-inch pipeline being installed. So this one as well, you know, typical vertical shoring in an area where we're doing work in a busy road to take up as little space as possible. And so that's the activity that's being shown here. The next photo I have for you here is of our crossing of Corn Pass Road. So this was a very difficult design of how to get across Corn Pass Road as we have to go back and forth on these roads sometimes to avoid certain features. And so this one, we did a diagonal crossing of Corn Pass Road, and we were able to complete that work successfully. Next slide. So PLW 2.1 is a brand new project, so I'll be reporting on this one more as we go forward, but we're just getting started on it. The contractor's mobilized, and the staging areas to the staging area in late April, potholing utilities and submittals. So this one is our pipeline section through the Orenkowood Nature Park, right adjacent to Corn Pass, and through what we call the berm property by some townhomes. The only photos that I have for you of this one right now is just some tree clearing that we had to do ahead of bird nesting season. As you look at these photos, you'll see the date stamp on them is in January. So we had to get this tree clearing done before the bird nesting season that I believe begins in February or March. Anyways, that got done. So the before picture on the left, the after picture on the right. And so this is right at the Orenkowood Nature Park. And so we're just getting started on this one. Now we'll move on to the MPE projects on the other side of the county. So on MPE 1.1, this one right now is kind of in a holding pattern a bit until we get to the fall so we can connect our 48-inch pipeline to the Washington County supply line in Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. So this one will get more active towards the September-October timeframe. But right now what we're doing is pressure testing and disinfection of the 48-inch pipeline, appurtenances and vaults, and more work on City of Beaverton's 16-inch water main, and then sidewalks, curb and gutter, road grading, street lighting, retaining wall construction, all work related to City of Beaverton's project for Western Boulevard and getting that one buttoned up. So if we look at the photos right now, this is if you drive down Western, it still kind of looks like this. You know, it's still pretty messy construction site, pretty busy area. But, you know, with the contractor now having most of the underground work complete, is going to be able to start working on cleaning it up and making it look really nice to meet Beaverton's expectations on what a finished project's going to look like here. So it's going to start turning the corner in terms of its appearance very soon. I think the next photo I have here for you is of that 16-inch water main construction on Western Avenue that they're making progress on here. And so that's kind of what we have to show you here right now for MPE 1.1, but so far so good on this project. MPE 1.2 is our pipeline project from Southwest Allen, then through Shoals Ferry Road. And this one we have, this is another partner project with City of Beaverton. So we have the water line connections from City of Beaverton 16-inch water line there on Hall Boulevard and Denny Road. And then the open cut installation on Shoals Ferry Road near Denny of the 16-inch line. I think I have a photo of that to show you. And then the remaining 48-inch work is on the other side, the west side of this project, on the other side of 217, is on Nimbus, or on Shoals Ferry near Nimbus. And also on the east side of this project, down Hall Boulevard, working on TVWD's pressure and flow control facility, the meter vault, underground, and underground piping. Next slide. This one as well, the 48-inch work on Shoals is still being done by night work. Quite honestly, right now we're dealing with some neighbor complaints about the kind of the impact of the lighting and the noise and stuff associated with night work. And we get it. We know that folks living near these sites, it's not pleasant. And so we're working with the City of Beaverton to work through that. We understand that they're getting some complaints about this, and so we're going to have to work to resolve that. And I have a meeting with Dan Weinheimer and George, because it begins with a G, but it's Jeff Hunsiger on Friday. Yeah, Commissioner Tibnon, yes.
Yeah, I know I work with a couple of demolition companies that use screens. They plan their demos of debris falls within the project area, but they also have screens that they raise by crane, I guess. It depends on how the height of it. But are there any options like that where there could be some screening that's put off to block the light?
Yeah, so I'll need to learn a little bit more about what exactly are the complaints. So if it's just lighting, yeah, maybe some different features like that could be employed. If it's the noise, then there's probably limited with the kind of scale of work that we're doing. There's really not a lot we can do, and this is just going to be a tough one, because I know my team had dozens of meetings with Beaverton and Washington County and ODOT, and what's the best way to get this work done, and everyone agreed that night work was the way to do it, because if we did it during the day and had the traffic impacts associated with the day work, this project would take so much longer. It'd be so much more impactful. So we're going to have to revisit that, probably do more communications, more outreach, and see what we can do to address some of the concerns and accommodate some needs. Anything else, Councilor Tibbon?
How much longer is it projected to last?
Oh, let's see. I'm gonna phone a friend here and see if Mike Bridge or Andre Tolme can help me with the schedule on the MPE 1.2 project.
Yeah, this is Andre. So MPE 1.2 will continue through the end of calendar year 2023. The pipeline activity does move as the pipeline gets installed and it moves down the street. So the impacts to the immediate neighbors will change as time goes on through the year.
Mm. Yeah, that's quite a pickle. Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you. Commissioner Judah, I saw you had your hand up there.
Well, that was pretty much my question, the last one that Commissioner Tibnon asked about. Where are we in terms of getting this done? I mean, sometimes speeding it up and getting done quicker helps out with those complaints, but if we have a whole year of construction, that's not quite the answer we're looking for.
Yeah, as Andre alluded to, the traffic impact, the impact zone changes. It moves with the project, so we're not impacting the whole expanse of the area all at the same time for the whole year. It's in areas. And so, the area, I know there's the area in the northern part where we're going to be crossing north. They have the North Fannell Creek crossing, then coming around Allen Boulevard. you know, once we get around Allen Boulevard, it's more of an industrial area, and maybe night work isn't as impactful to too many of the residents over there. And then we have the work down Hall Boulevard, that again is more of a commercial area, that hopefully has fewer impacts to some of the folks there. But yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a follow-up question in terms of decibel level. I know that, like, in downtown Portland, there's the pile drivers are a big issue for the people living down there because they're so especially loud. Are they doing that kind of work at night? Is there any way to shift the higher decibel work to daylight hours, or is it not feasible to do something like that?
So I'm going to give a start at an answer, and then I'm going to ask Andre for more details. But I know that some accommodations have been made in terms of, like, some of the activities, like dragging some of the plates around. It turns out to be really noisy and stuff, and then so they're trying to figure out when to do that so it's less impactful. But we're not doing any pile driving. It's just basically big, heavy machinery and equipment doing the digging and everything else like that. But
going
Andre,
in reverse and beeping as they're backing up and just the sounds of, okay.
Yep. Andre, anything to add to my answer there?
No, I think you summarized it well. But there is nothing that is especially loud in construction. It's the normal equipment activity.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so let's move on. I've lost kind of track of which slide's next, but let's all find out at the same time. Oh, okay, so this is the pressure and flow control facility at Bradley Corners, so near the intersection of Hall and Oleson. So they're making progress on this one, and this is going to be the kind of a receiving station for TBWD from water from the MPE pipeline before it goes into their system. So it's going to be a structure that houses the valves and controls to manage the water going into their Metzger area. And it's this location, if you don't know otherwise, it's John's Incredible Pizza. It's that facility now that's being converted into a Hobby Lobby. So making progress on this one. Next slide is still MPE 1.2. So this is a concrete panel road replacement. So on the kind of on the right hand side, there's 217. And then this is Cascade Avenue there, kind of in the center of this photo. And you can see where the concrete panel road construction is being repaired after the pipeline's been installed. Next slide is an aerial shot of our 16-inch water main, City of Beaverton water main on Shoalsbury Road. So again, just kind of showing kind of the constrained and difficult nature of this work. Frankly, the pipeline contractor in this one is Emory, and of all the experience with the pipeline contractors that we've had on the program, Emory's probably our best. So it's not going to get better than what Emory is doing. They've been an excellent contractor to work with on these types of projects, and they run a really, really good show out there. So we're doing our best. Next slide. Now we're moving on to MPE 1.3. So finally at the last project to talk to you about today. So this is our 48-inch water line along the rest of Shoalsbury Road from Roy Rogers out to that MPE 1.2 project. So just getting started on the 48-inch water line in Shoals Ferry, heading west from Fano Creek, and then our turnout vault on Roy Rogers Road, basically building that vault for discharge into this pipeline. Next slide. Nighttime construction again here on this project because Shoalsbury Road is a busy road. And so this just shows more of what that work looks like. Very large equipment, vertical shoring to keep the site as small as possible, and big heavy pipe that's being installed by the two large excavators there. So very common construction that we're doing all over the county. Next slide. And this again is what some of that night work looks like. And so you can see the focused lighting there on the areas where our workers are working to keep them as safe as possible. And basically the traffic control there to define our area where our workers are working to basically get our project done. Next slide. I think the last one I've got here for you is just that concrete vault that's being constructed near Royal Rogers Road at Shoalsbury Road. So this will be the vault that will hold the controls and flow metering for the pipeline discharge into the MPE pipeline. And I think that's the last of my construction photos and construction updates. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to take them at this time.
No requests.
Any additional questions? Well, seeing all those seeing all those photos of the nighttime work, it's very fitting that our final formal safety minute dealt with work zone traffic safety. That's incredible work, and I really appreciate your appreciation of the cut slope and retaining wall quality of the work being done by the contractor. That goes to my heart as well. Next up on the agenda is our public comment section. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Annette, do we have any persons who would like to comment today?
No requests today.
Excellent. Thank you. As a reminder, Annette is monitoring the chat feature for any future requests. Now we'll consider the consent agenda. The consent agenda items are routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. Item 1A is to approve the February 2nd, 2023 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented?
This is Commissioner Judah. I move to approve item 3A, consent agenda.
This is Commissioner Tibnon. I second.
It's been moved and seconded. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
Okay. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TBWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion passes. Now our business agenda items. Item A, consider adopting resolution WWSS 0323, approving the Willamette Water Supply System representation in the updates to the 2023 Washington County Multi-Jurisdictional National Hazard Mitigation Plan. Mr. Rich will present the staff report.
All right. Good afternoon, commissioners. While I don't have really cool construction photos to show you like Dave does, this is still really interesting and important work leading up to some future improved resiliency for the program once it's in place and operational. So next slide. So just going to begin by giving you a few key concepts about what the Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan, give you a little bit of the background on it, and then talk through some specific WWSS mitigation plans that were included as part of that document. Next slide. So just a few key concepts about this. So the Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan is updated every 5 years, and that's as part of a countywide activity that's led by Washington County. In the past, TBWD contributed some activity related to that agency specifically and its system as part of an annex to the Natural Hazard Mitigation. This year, this time around, we're also including as part of that the WWSS and some specific action plans I'll talk about later related to that. So why do we do this? Well, by participating in completing this Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan, it allows us to have access to funding by FEMA, for example, from one of their major programs related to resiliency. It's Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities, or their BRIC program, or there's other funding sources. But to be able to have access to those funds, you have to participate in this five-year planning process and include plans as part of that. And so to move forward with this, adoption of this Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan Annex is by the governing bodies is required to pursue FEMA funding with FEMA and others. And so we're hoping that the board today chooses to adopt the portions of this related to the WWSS, again, as it allows access to federal funding. Commissioner Judah.
Yes, Mike, if I can, sorry to interrupt you, but have we ever received any FEMA funds for our project based on participation in the last 5 years of this item?
Well, the answer for WWSS is no, because this is the very first time we're participating. For TVWD, they have pursued grant funding related to resiliency and I suppose other things, and they have received have grants that have been approved that support advancing some of their resiliency and other projects. So, and I think the as I understand it, this FEMA's BRIC funding is actually probably one of the better programs to pursue funding with, because they do have a ton of funding available in support of resiliency projects. And so it is a really good program to try and go get some money from. So
thank you.
Yeah. Next slide, please. So WWSS staff worked with TVWD and Washington County to develop the required documentation that would allow us to incorporate the information for the WWSS into the Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. There's a few more clicks here. So TVWD, as you all know, is the designated managing agency for the WWSS, and so for this to be completed as a process, board adoption is required by both the TVWD board and the WWSS commission to support kind of the final acceptance needed by the state of Oregon and FEMA. Washington County completed its required public review process in March and anticipates county board commissioners adoption in April, and I believe it's like April 14th, maybe it's going to 14th or 18th is going to their commission. And actually, we just heard last week in an email that FEMA and the state of Oregon have both completed their reviews and really had no comments. And so the county is really pleased about the review and the status of that, or minor comments. And with an approved annex plan, again, the WWSS is eligible to apply for federal funding to assist in implementation of hazard mitigation action plans that have been included as part of this work. And so the next few slides, I'm just going to talk about specifically what did we include to potentially go after funding to help us with. And so there's five different, they ask you to complete these mitigation action plans. And so on the right side of the page, you see some of the paperwork that we completed for each one of these. And so there's five specific things that we asked for in this five-year plan to be eligible for funding. And so the first one relates to the shake alert earthquake early warning system. And so while the WWSS is being designed with local on-site accelerometers, so when you have your major seismic event, there's going to be local instruments that provide the information that allow us to control our systems and the operations to get them in their most stable state, it still would be advantageous to have even more time to prepare. And that's what this early warning shake alert system does. And so TVWD is currently participating in it. You know, I think we've always envisioned that at some point the WWSS would participate in it. And so it's really, it provides, again, advanced warning that allows us to shut down our equipment, our power, and get everything in the most stable state prior to the major seismic waves, you know, hitting the region. And so we're fully set up to be able to incorporate it, but this allows us a way to do that and get have FEMA help pay us for a good part of those costs. Next slide. So a couple other action plan activities that have been included here, again, in support of improved resiliency, is one of them relates to standby power and fuel storage. And so for all of our facilities that have mechanical equipment that needs to operate, we've included standby generators and fuel. And actually, to the extent, as part of our level of service goals, is to be able to operate independently for up to 5 days. But once that 5 days kind of a fuel supply is done, will need to be resupplied. And so rather than waiting till planned expansion in the future, we identified, hey, if we can get additional standby power and fuel with FEMA assistance, we'd want to pursue that if the agencies are in support of that. So allowing us to have additional resilience in our operations. So that's one of them. The third one there at the bottom of the page, it relates to emergency spare part and a storage facility for those spare parts. So, you know, it doesn't have to be an earthquake or to have an emergency. You can have a contractor, a directional driller kind of go through a facility, a pipe or something, and you need spare parts on hand. And as well, we've all learned the painful lesson of supply chains in the last few years. It's really hard to get these really some of these really critical parts. And so by having those, you know, most critical parts or those best kits of materials available when, you know, on standby when your emergency occurs, it puts us in the best position to really provide the most reliable service. And so that's that third item there. Next one. So we've been doing a lot of planning with other agencies in the region in Washington County. And so if you think about, and this relates to the concept of infrastructure interdependencies. And so we all sort of depend on each other. You know, the community and all the other agencies need us to provide water to them, right? But for us to have access to our facilities and go repair things, we need roads that work. And we all need electric power and we need communications. And so we're all sort of codependent on one another. And so one of the activities that we went through is we hosted a workshop last May. We brought all the infrastructure, key infrastructure stakeholders in the region together, and we started talking about this and what do we need to work on as a group of infrastructure systems and agencies to improve our overall system resilience. Well, one of them, as it specifically relates to us, but others as well, is, you know, when our fuel runs out in 5 days after, you know, the major earthquake, we're going to need to get resupplied. And because we're in Washington County, Washington County is going to be the agency responsible for delivering that fuel across the county. Unfortunately, our system is so large. We're over 30 miles of pipeline and project area. And so our treatment plant and our raw water facilities are actually located to the south side of the Tualatin River, and Washington County is mostly to the north side, and that's where we think all the fuel is going to be, you know, brought into and distributed from. And so we need a way to have that fuel and other chemicals conveyed south across the Tualatin River to resupply our facilities, our treatment plant and raw water facilities. So we identified that there's actually two bridges that are on Roy Rogers Road, one across the Tualatin River, another across Chicken Creek, that are vulnerable to the seismic hazard. And so we've started kind of talking together as agencies and identified those as being really a critical transportation link that really should be seismically upgraded, if possible, to benefit us all, and specifically, you know, the WWSS. And so I think there's a really good consensus and good support across the county and all the agencies we've been talking to. And so we've specifically identified a project as part of the natural hazard mitigation that would start work on improving those two bridges and that critical link. And then that last project there is just to support the ongoing infrastructure interdependencies work between all the agencies. So that really summarizes the five specific plans that that we've included. And again, as by completing the natural hazard mitigation plan, it sets the stage for us to have access to that FEMA BRIC funding or other sources. And the BRIC funding will pay for up to, as I understand it, 75% of the construction costs, and I think 100% of even some of the early planning work. And so it's a really great resource to be able to have access for funding to improve resilience. Next click. You know, and there's no obligation for us, any of us, to proceed with any of these projects. And so, but again, it makes it an opportunity for us if we decide we want to pursue these. Next click. So once the plan has been adopted by all the boards, the WWSS staff will evaluate the next step to for these mitigation plans and how we move forward and provide updates as applicable. And I think the next one's just the request. Yeah. So again, we're requesting that the board adopts the WWSS portion of this natural hazard mitigation plan in support of allowing us to have access to federal funding for the projects I identified. Any questions?
This is Commissioner Tibnon. As far as doing the projects, as you said at the end that it's up to us if we want to. I hope that we would build this in to address these at some point. I know, speaking for former counselor Kate Arnold, this on her way out the door, this was the thing that she was most passionate about, not just for the city of Beaverton, but resiliency across the board. Really excited to see this all on paper and hope that we can make progress towards building that in for when it happens. But thank you for the report.
Yeah, I totally agree with all that. We should do all of these. I think they're all really good next steps. I mean, it becomes a capacity function of staff, right? So we're building 15 projects right now, and you know, we're all flat out busy. But we're trying to, you know, set the stage for the future. So as we ramp down after construction and we have more capacity, you know, we're definitely going to pursue these in the smartest way that we can.
Yeah, one observation I'll just throw out there is it reminds me of what's happening in California right now. My folks live down there, and all the reservoirs are filling up. It's a great thing, but there was on the books plans to build more, and they just didn't. And so who knows when this type of rain will hit again, and the calculations of how much lost has happened so far, what's just going straight into the ocean, is pretty mind-boggling. It falls kind of the same thing, like you never know these natural events are going to happen. And thank you for the response to that, and I get it, staff resources is what it's all about. But if there's any way that if there's more money out there we can chase for this, that would be fantastic.
I agree. If you haven't guessed, I'm like super passionate about this stuff, and I want to see it happen. And I realize it takes a really long time to do these things, especially interagency projects like the bridges that I'm talking about. You know, we've been very successful working with the county in constructing pipelines as they build roads in the busiest, you know, roads in Washington County. So we have a really good relationship to start with. And again, it takes a long time. I've been actually working on the program since 2011, before it was a program, and we're just, you know, within a few years of wrapping up. So I have that appreciation. But I know we need to keep moving on laying the groundwork so that, you know, whether it's me or others can keep going, but we need to start. And so this really sets the stage for us to start some of these really long activities that will result in a really great benefit to the county and the community. Commissioner Judah, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I have a little bit of confusion in my mind about the responsibility here. So let me try to ask it in a way that helps you give me an answer. So the confusion is WWSS versus WWSP in regards to these five items that you listed. So as I listen to you today, and we're talking about what's needed and what these five major items are, and WWSS's potential approving of this resolution, if we do pursue these five items, they're not, are they not part of the project, and they're just something that WWSS needs to potentially address in the future? Or are you asking that these five items now become something that gets built into the current pipeline project? I think that made sense.
Yeah, I'll start, and then maybe Dave might want to clarify something if I get it wrong. So the WWSP is going to go away. It's the program that, you know, assembled Dave and me and Joelle and Andre and others to deliver this infrastructure program. And by 2026, when all the infrastructure is built and it's turned and the system is turned over to TVWD as a managing agency and Hillsborough to run the facilities, WWSP goes away. What will last is the WWSS, the actual infrastructure that's in the ground, and the board, you all, the board of commissioners that are, you know, assigned to manage it, and, you know, as part of its leadership. So that will keep going. And so as I understand it, it's these agencies that manage the infrastructure are the ones that are responsible for, you know, adopting these kinds of things and, you know, helping, making sure the staff's on the right track for future activities. And so, again, this is just, it doesn't have to be done. You know, while the WWSP is still in operation, but the staff that's available, that's here, it helps us in completing some of our seismic resiliency and level of service goals. And so if we have, you know, capacity to do this, to start some of this work, in addition, on behalf of that the new organization, the WWSS Commission, then we will do that. But Dave, do you want to add anything to that or correct anything?
Yeah, I do want to add. So, nothing counter to what Mike said, but just a point of clarity on this is all the things Mike listed here are not in baseline 8.1. They're not in our baseline. They're not in our scope of work to complete right now. So, what's in front of the board here today is to adopt this resolution where we become part of this natural hazard mitigation plan. That's all. And then these projects we would pursue if we got funding for them in the future through FEMA. It would be possible if the board and the partner agencies decided, well, even in absence of FEMA funding, we still want to do them. That could be for future CIPs, future projects, and stuff like this. But today, all that's in front of the board is just adopting this resolution for the Willamette Water Supply System Commission to be part of this multi-jurisdictional natural hazard mitigation plan. That's it. Then, in terms of accomplishing this project that Mike's talking about, great projects, things we would like to do, but they're not in the current plans right now.
Okay, thank you. I think that addresses my longer thinking concerns. Yeah, who's CIP? You know, when are they on the list? All that has to be dealt with by all of us individually as individual partners, but also as a group of the WWSS partners, when and if we think we can get it on there. So
Exactly. Just like what the JWC is dealing with right now regarding chlorine conversion, going from gas chlorine to hypochlorite, you know, it'd be that same sort of like process. It would be a, you know, the managing agency would bring up, we think we want to do these projects, we do or don't have funding for them, and then go through a process. Right now, these projects are not part of our baseline. They're not part of the work that we're going to be getting done by 2026.
So the money that's available from FEMA, I assume they can change their guidelines on what they're going to give money for and what not, and what they're not going to give money for. And the reason I made that statement is if we specifically list five things that we would like to accomplish in a resolution, doesn't that sort of obligate us somehow? I mean, approving ourselves as being part of the resolution to be an organization that helps with mitigation is one thing, but listing what we would like to do if we get FEMA money kind of says we're obligating ourselves. And I'm for doing them, don't get me wrong. I just don't want to involuntarily make ourselves a commitment that we have to be held to at some point if that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah, Mike. I don't. this doesn't obligate, we're not obligated to do anything. But if you, as I understand it, I think this process basically requires agencies to sit down and identify what are their highest resiliency related, hazard mitigation related projects, and to put those forth in this plan. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to do any of these. But if we don't identify them, then it makes it really difficult to get the funding. And so we've just tried to identify what do we think are the best or, you know, projects to go after if we decide to do that in the next 5 years, or at least to start the process. We don't have to do any of these. But if we don't put these in here, identify these, and just like all the ones that TBWD and Hillsborough and Beaverton have included, then it makes it much, much more difficult to go get money from FEMA and others. And this is just kind of how the system works, as I understand it, for getting access to that funding.
All right. Thank you guys very much for your answers.
I have one further comment. Knowing FEMA grant programs and how things have worked out in the past, staff correct me if I'm wrong, but the BRIC program, the Building Resilient Infrastructure for Communities, is a relatively new program in terms of FEMA, in terms of their geological timeline. And as a grant program, yeah, you have to get all these things set up. And if it's on a local plan for so many years and you have identified funding, it increased the chances of that grant being approved and money coming in a relatively quick fashion, as opposed to just the community somehow immediately recognize an emergency and they want to get it taken care of. Well, it may not get the priority funding for the light is to a community that's been waiting to address a hazard for a longer period of time, so to speak. So I hope that clarifies it a little bit further, at least my understanding of the grant program there referred to as BRIC. If there are no further questions or comments for Mr. Bridge, I guess I'll call the question. Do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS 0323, approving the Willamette Water System Supply System representation and the updates to the 2023 Washington County Multi-Jurisdictional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this action item.
Chair, this is Commissioner Tibnon. I vote to adopt resolution WWSS 0323 to approve the Willamette Water Supply System representation and the updates to the 2023 Washington County Multi-Jurisdictional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Hi, this is Commissioner Judah. I second everything Commissioner Tibnon just read for us.
The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
Okay, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
City of Hillsborough says yes.
All right, and TBWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
The motion passes. Next on the agenda.
Once I got started, I couldn't stop.
Yeah, it's funny with the slide up there prompting. Next up on the agenda, item B, consider approving an amendment number 39 to contract number 2016-320 with David Evans and Associates Incorporated in the amount of $782,782.52 to provide additional permitting services for the Willamette Water Supply Program. Ms. Walter will now present the staff report.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Let's go ahead and just jump to the next slide. Okay. So this is our annual review of the David Evans and Associates contract, DEA, as we gingerly referred to them in that acronym. So it's the contract for permitting services support to the program. And this is our annual opportunity to review the upcoming scope of work for the upcoming year, as well as the annual expenditures. And then if so approved, the amendment, which would actually increase the budget to the contract for the coming year. So as was just read, this amendment budget amendment we're seeking is for $782,782.52 needed to accomplish the upcoming year's work, which would cover the period April 19th, 2023 through April 18th, 2024. And again, this is for DEA to continue providing the WWSP with permitting support services. Go ahead and advance to the next slide. Okay, so here's an overview of what those services in general cover. Supports us in preparing and coordinating permit modifications for our water quality certification and removal and fill permits with the Army Corps and DSL. Preparation and coordination of all pre-construction permits, just to give you kind of an insight of where we're at. We have 78 still left to go. The permitting team has identified a total of 543 permits needed for the system at large and all the component pieces for that. We've secured 446 of those, so we're about 82% nearing or 82% completed on that front, but 78 is still an effort left to go. DEA assists us with permitting the environmental compliance monitoring. As we've heard earlier in the presentation today, we have 14 active construction sites, and so DEA is actually out there on a regular basis. They have a number of staff that assist us with that, being our eyes and ears and helping to monitor and to basically document what's going on in the field and stopping any problems before they become problems where we would be in violation of any permit conditions. They also prepare and implement post-construction monitoring and restoration plans for each and every one of the sites under construction. An interesting additional support that they provide us is with our thermal trading plan. Both the implementation of that plan and the mitigation projects that we are underway to achieve the credits that we need for that plan, but also in the past year and a half, support of the ongoing Water Watch litigation. They've been doing a lot of guidance through that, as well as being deposed through that process, through that litigation, tell us how we came up to the plan and the terms and conditions we put in the plan that we proposed back to DEQ. So a lot of work effort there. And then also they help us with annual report preparation that we have to submit. As you can see on that last bullet point, there's a number of agencies that require an annual report being submitted on what was our activity and, you know, what did we do at each one of the sites. And they prepare those reports for us and submit them. Any questions on this slide before I advance to the next one? Okay, jump to the next slide. In addition to the general activities that I just described, we have new activities that we've identified in 2023 that we need assistance with. So these tasks include for the raw water facilities, land use permitting support for partitioning and subdividing of the Wilsonville property that will not be needed once the final the facilities are completed. There's a portion of that property that we will not be needing, and how do we subdivide it and partition it? They are helping us with that work effort. Let's see. They coordinate the hazardous materials phase one surveys that will be needed for the ground lease improvements on Pipeline Main 1.3 project. The permitting team is currently tracking the need for what we believe are two minor permit modifications with the water quality certification and the removal fill permits with Army Corps and DSL. So helping us prepare for that and submitting that paperwork needed to secure those modifications. For the Pipeline West 2.1, Orenco Woods Nature Park, for that particular segment of the project, we went above and beyond what our permits required us to do from the regulatory agencies in terms of wildlife monitoring and mitigation. We heard what the stakeholders out in that area and the residents were calling for. They were very concerned with wildlife that use that park and that thoroughway through the park for their pathways that they cross on a regular basis. And so we heard very clearly going into land use, the land use permit proceedings, that they wanted extra protection, extra monitoring, extra efforts being out there to ensure that wildlife was not being harmed. And so David Evans and Associates, their staff are out there doing the extra eyes in terms of What are our activities? Are we doing what we said we were going to do in that plan, and we're living up to our obligations? So a lot of work effort that has just initiated on that front, but will be carrying us through construction on that project. And then for commissioning and startup, the very last bullet on the slide there, startup and commissioning land use permits. We are tracking the need to acquire 7 permits for that project, and that project specifically is for the temporary Tualatin River discharge facility. So the major blow off that we've talked about in prior presentations requires land use permits to put that in the ground, to operate it, and then remove it once we are done with startup and commissioning. So the up and coming new activities for 2023, that's a pretty short summary of what we have them online to do. Any questions on this slide before I jump to the next? Okay, go ahead and jump to the next slide. Okay, so just to reiterate what we are proposing is a contract amendment, and we're asking for your approval to approve the scope of work for the upcoming year, as well as the new budget and the amendment to the budget, the funds that need to go with that work effort, again, to carry us from April 19th, 2023 to April 18th, 2024. Let's jump to the next slide. Okay, here are the numbers in more in depth. So budget overview. The initial contract that we signed back with David Evans and Associates back in 2016, was an original amount of $589,896. At that time, we had a planned approach for future reviews of upcoming scope of work. So we didn't approve the entire scope of work for, you know, from 2016 to 2026, and said we took the approach that every year we would reevaluate the scope of work, what had we identified, what new activities would be occurred, and then we would bring back to the board that new scope of work for the upcoming year and the amount of money we were going to be needing for that. So since 2016, we've had a total of 38 amendments, which in totality has added $9,998,258. So our current value of this contract is $10,588,155.13. This new proposed scope of work and new funds would add to the contract and budget $782,782.52. And as you can see in the middle of the chart there, we do have the breakdown of how that is apportioned to each of the partners. If approved, this would bring the total value of the contract to $11,370,937.65. Just a couple of highlighted notes there at the very bottom. The total value of services for the contract for the upcoming year is, in fact, $1,502,952.98, of which we do have some rollover unspent funds from the current year of $720,170.32. And then to that, we would be adding the new budget. Commissioner Chita, can you answer a question?
Are those dates correct on the first one? Shouldn't that be April of 2023 to April of 2024?
Yes. That is a typo. Sorry. My apologies for that. Yes, I used last year's template for this presentation, so I just kind of modified it, but we did not catch that. And yes, you are correct. And then the final note I'll draw out on this slide is that the new budgeted amount that we have asked to increase the budget by, the $782,782.52, has in fact been budgeted and was anticipated and budget in the baseline 8.1 budget. So we are within what we had projected the budget to be for the upcoming year. Any questions? Further questions I can answer on this question, on this one? Okay. Then there we go. The board action is to an amendment to consider approving amendment 39 to contract number 2632 with David Evans and Associates in the amount of 782,000. $782.52 to provide additional permitting services for the Willamette Water Supply Program. Any questions?
There are no questions. I'll call for the vote. Do I have a motion and second to approve Amendment 39? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this action item.
This is Commissioner Judah. I move to approve.
This is Commissioner Tibnon. I second.
It's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
TBWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
Up next are information items. Item A, Ms. Bennett will present a staff report on business agenda items planned for the June WWSS Commission Board meeting.
Thank you, Commissioners. We have one anticipated action item for our next meeting, and that is the Program and Construction Management Services Fiscal Year 2024 Annual Work Plan. So as you probably remember, Stantec Consulting Services is contracted to provide the program and construction management services through 2026. And specific services are authorized on an annual basis through the approval of the annual work plan. So this 2024 annual work plan identifies the planned services, staffing, fee, and key assumptions for delivering of the program and those construction management services. And all of that work is aligned with the baseline 8.1, which was approved by the board in February. The estimated fee for the annual work plan for the next fiscal year is approximately $23.7 million. Staff will provide an overview and recommend approval of the final work plan at the next WWSS board meeting, which is in June. That is the only upcoming action item for you today. Are there any questions that I can answer? Thank you.
Thank you. Next is informational item B. It was just a reminder that the next regular board meeting is scheduled on June 1st at noon via Microsoft Teams. Last on our agenda, communication and non-agenda items. There appear to be no communication or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. Therefore, unless there is any further business, I believe we can be adjourned.
I have nothing further. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
All right. Hearing nothing, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, staff. And hope all those construction noise issues can be resolved satisfactorily to keep the project going and allowing some of our citizens to get some sleep. So,
thank you. We will find a way. And thank you for your continued support and enjoy the rest of your days.
Thank you.
Home Depot has a great supply of earplugs.
You might be buying a lot of those.
Not going to work.
Okay,
all right.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And so for everyone else that's attending the Management Committee meeting, which will be very brief, that follows this meeting, let's go ahead and click over to that meeting invitation, and I'll see you there, and it'll be a quick one. Thanks. Bye. How are things in Beaverton today?
All right, keeping busy.
Yeah, no shortage of that.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I think this will be a really just quick check-in. Make sure that we're all on the same page in terms of canceling our meeting next month, or not even canceling it, but not holding it next month, and just make sure that I'm not missing anything. So, hey, Nikki. So we've got Dan, Nikki, and I'm looking for Andrew, who is sitting in for Tom today. Is he with us? Not yet. Annette, did we give Andrew an invite to this?
It doesn't look like, I was just looking, Catherine had forwarded all the meetings to him. It doesn't look like he got this one forwarded to him. Do you want me to forward it to him?
Yes, please. Okay. So as soon as Andrew shows up here, we'll get started. Hey Dan, about that noise issue on Shoals Ferry Road. No, we're going to talk about that Friday afternoon. But I was got some questions from Councilor Tipnon at the meeting. So is this something that council members are aware of, or was she just asking because she just learned about it from my presentation? Do you think?
I'm assuming she learned about it from your presentation. We haven't talked to them about it.
Okay, good.
Just not that I'm aware of.
Good. I'm glad it hasn't elevated to that yet. Hopefully we can avoid that.
Yeah.
Dave, I don't really want to jump in on that natural resource mitigation plan. Judah's probably heard the opposite from Hillsborough, that you don't have to list specific projects in it. You have to list like high level things like seismic, resiliency, redundancy, things like that. And you know, depending on the agency, it's really just a preference. It doesn't hurt at all to list projects. I didn't really want to get in the middle of that conversation and contradict Mike, but it doesn't hurt. Some agencies just list all their potential. So I just thought I'd mention that to the group because we've done these natural hazard mitigation plans several times with the county, and I think it's just a bit new for you guys. But if there's a project that doesn't easily fit into those buckets, or you know you're doing them for sure, then we'll sometimes list the specifics. So I think that's where his confusion came from.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
he seemed a little confused, but it seemed kind of harmless. It didn't seem like distressed by it or anything like that.
Yeah, he didn't raise any of those issues with me, and he asked me how I felt about them, both of the permitting contract, and I said we approved both of them, and then I mentioned the importance of the NEPA hazard to be included in there for future funding. So, sorry, he didn't share any of those questions, or I would have given to you guys a little ahead of time. So, but yeah, I thought you guys did a good. It definitely doesn't hurt to list the specific projects. Like, I don't think the public is leafing through a large natural hazard mitigation. So that's why I didn't jump in, because it definitely doesn't hurt, and it can make it a little easier for reviewers to just go down and see something. Otherwise, you have to kind of include a justification of why it meets those criteria that are in the plan.
Okay.
So, kind of takes away one step, which can be really nice. So,
Okay, yeah, the story that Mike put out there is good. I mean, we certainly have projects that fit in the list, you know, and they're good, solid projects and everything. So we have a good story to tell. If we're lucky enough someday to get that money, then we can figure out where does it go. And, you know, that's what I was trying to convey is, like, it's not in the works now. If we get the money, we can have these conversations in the future, and we can develop it. So we're not deciding on any of that right now. So.